Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So for 15 years, when I preached this text on the baptism of Jesus, you could probably guess what I preached on. It was when Jesus came up out of the water and the name voice came from heaven saying, "This is my son whom I love. I am pleased with him." Well, in studying for this message, I caught something different that really intrigued me, and I began studying, I began looking, and I began really reading it and looking at it in the Greek, and it suddenly dawned on me that there's something very powerful that comes through in this story that sometimes I think we miss. It happens as Jesus goes to John. So Jesus travels to John to be baptized, and of course, John's like, wait, you know, this is the Lamb of God. He said it before, behold the Lamb of God, you know, who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. And so this mentality is already there, and here John is being met by Jesus, and Jesus wants to be baptized by John. Can you imagine what John was thinking? Wait, hold on a minute. You're supposed to baptize me. I'm not going to be baptizing you. It's got to be the other way around, Jesus. But then something happens, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do to fulfill all righteousness." Now, when we first read that, and when we read it, sometimes we read it a little politely. We hear Jesus saying, "Let it be so now." You know, hear that connotation, right? That's not what Jesus was saying. In the Greek, he said, "Let it be so now, for righteousness must be fulfilled." Do you hear the difference? So here is Jesus standing in front of John the Baptist saying, baptism must happen now because I only have 3 years starting now to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the plan for which I came, to fulfill the plan to make God's people holy and perfect before his eyes. And so let it be so now, he says, so that as I am baptized, I now start the sacrament of baptism from this time forward for God's people. So I got to thinking, and I started looking around in Scripture, and I realized that this "let it be so now" is kind of the attitude that Jesus has had all along. For he came for this time and this purpose. That's key for us to remember. He came for this time and for this purpose. Jesus came as a baby for this time and for this purpose. Scripture says, when we read the Gospels accounts of Christmas, that at just the right time, Jesus was born. Jesus came into a world that we like to hear of, silent night and angels singing, and know how peaceful it was. But that's not the world Jesus came into. Do you really believe that? Jesus came into a world where people were being killed for their religious beliefs. He came into a world where people were flogged and beaten and put in prison for not having enough money to pay their taxes. He came into a world full of chaos and full of hatred and full of bitterness. Doesn't it sound familiar? But Jesus came for this purpose. He came now so that it would be done. Jesus came into the world as God's Son, God as human flesh, to begin a mighty ministry. You see, Jesus had to be God in human flesh to fulfill what we are unable to fulfill, to do what we are unable to do, and that's to live the perfect life that God had called us to live. God had to become human flesh for you and for me so that we could be credited with that perfect righteousness. You see, that's the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel is that because Jesus loves us so much, he came into this world to live the life that you and I live, to be tempted as you and I are tempted, but not to sin, to struggle as you and I struggle, but not to sin, to hurt as you and I hurt, to hurt even worse as you and I were supposed to hurt as he died on the cross, because it was for this time and this purpose that he came also, to die on the cross for our sin, for our death. He took our sin on the cross for this time, for this purpose, he came into the world. See, the reality is, in looking at the Old Testament, God's people were all messed up. The people couldn't do anything. We were lost. We were doing sacrifices thinking that would save us. We were doing good works thinking that would save us. We were trying to live as good people thinking that would save us. How many funerals do you go to today where you still hear the pastor say or someone say, "Oh, he was a good man, that's why he's in heaven"? How many? Have you heard that? That answer's wrong. Not the sacrifices, not the lives people were living, none of that could rescue God's people. That's why Jesus came into the world, to die on the cross for our punishment. Now, he had already lived the perfect life, and that perfect life was given to you and for me also in this death and in this death of Christ. Martin Luther calls it the joyful exchange. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying, he took our sinfulness upon himself. He took our death upon himself. That was the death we deserve, people. That's the death we deserve. That's the hell. That's the torment that we deserve. And he took that upon himself and gave us his perfect righteousness. He gives us his perfect life. He gives us his perfect holiness so that when God sees us, he sees perfection. But it doesn't end there, does it? Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And as he rose from the dead and as he came forth from that tomb, he did something else. He sanctified the grave and made the grave holy. Prior to that, when people died and they were buried, they were left there. The grave was a place of decay. The grave was a place of disgust. It was a place where people wouldn't go to because it stank and they didn't want to be around it. But now the grave is sanctified. The grave has been made holy because when you and I die, we pass through the grave into the entrance of heaven. The grave now becomes our entrance into eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Because Jesus said it was for this time and for this purpose that I had come, so that my people may be with me and I may be with them forever. You see, that's the greatness of this gospel. And because of your baptism, because of the baptism that Jesus initiated, by being washed in the waters, as Romans says today, you die with Christ and rise with Christ to newness of life. You die with Christ and rise with Christ to newness of life. Your sins are forgiven. They are wiped away. Your past is changed. The new has come for this time and for this purpose. The day you were baptized, Jesus said, "Let it be so now, you are my child. Let it be so now, you are forgiven. Let it be so now, you have overcome the grave. Let it be so now, you will live forever. Let it be so now, you will raise up from the dead as I have risen from the dead, so that we too may live together in heaven for eternity. Let it be so now." But there's one more thing. We hear the preaching of the gospel, and we hear this, "Let it be so now," and we hear of the righteousness of Jesus, but there's one more thing that Isaiah points out that happens because of baptism, and here it is. Isaiah says, "I will take hold of your hand and keep you and make you my people." It was for this time and this purpose. Today, even in a world where just the other day we have another tragic shooting. Today, where schools seem to be in chaos, fights in Hewlin Mall. Gosh, I go out of town and it seems like Fort Worth erupted. I turn on the evening news in Morristown, Tennessee, and there's Hewlin Mall on the news. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on in Fort Worth? In the chaos of our lives where sometimes we have financial troubles, in the chaos of our lives in raising children or taking care of aging parents, in the chaos of the struggles and the worries that we go through, our health, our trials, all of these things, Jesus came for this time and for this purpose, to take you by the hand, to walk with you, to hold you, to love you, to lift you up and carry you through every trial, struggle, and tribulation. Why does he do it? Because of his overwhelming love for you. Why does he do it? Because you are his child and you are precious. Why does he do it? Because it causes us to realize that no matter what happens in this world, nothing can take us from the hand of Jesus. No matter what happens in this world, it is but a blip on the radar screen of eternity with Jesus. That no matter what happens in this world, you have the hope and promise and certainty of eternal life with Jesus because you have been baptized with the same baptism that Jesus has. Let it be so now. You are saved from sin, from death, and from the devil. In the name of Jesus, amen.